Good morning. Everybody doing all right? Are you awake? Look at the person next to you and say, I'm awake. Say, I'm alive. I feel good. Ready to go. I'm glad you're here today. My name is Tim Wildsmith. I'm the minister to students here at Nashville First. And today is an annual tradition where we celebrate the high school seniors who are graduating this month. Some of them have already graduated. Some of them are going to graduate in the days ahead. And for many of them, they have grown up in this church family, and so we've known them. We had a breakfast this morning to kind of celebrate, and we had a slideshow that showed them from, like, the nursery back there, and it was a blast. And today we commission them into the next season of their lives. So what can I tell you about the class of 2019? Well, I like them a lot. Let's start there. I really do. I like them. They're creative. They are fun. They're a little bit sassy. They're quirky sometimes, but they're an awesome, awesome group of teenagers, and they come from incredible families. My wife Becca and I have been here for just a little bit over 5 years, and so when we showed up, they were these measly little seventh graders, and we have pictures of them actually, and I don't know why I didn't send them to the slideshow, but we've watched these students traverse through the end of junior high and high school, and we're very excited to see where God leads them in the days and the years ahead. So this is called a commissioning service, and what does that mean? Seniors, this commissioning service means that we're not just patting you on the back and saying, good job, we're glad you graduated. It's something more than that. We are thankful. And we're excited and we're proud of who you are and what you've accomplished. But we're also saying this morning that we're looking towards your future. And we are commissioning to you into what's next. And the reality today is that you are graduating from high school, but you're not graduating from life. And you're certainly not graduating from your relationship with Jesus. I say this to you all the time, is that one of the beautiful things about being a Christ follower is that God's got work to do, and we get to be in on it. And so today, we're celebrating you, but we're also looking forward, and we're saying God's up to something, and as you go from here, as you go into the next season of life, you get to be in on what God's doing in the world all around you. And so today, I just want to tell you that I think that you're ready for that. I think that this church, through many years, has helped you get ready for that, and I want to tell you why. And I want to start, I'm going to use basically a scripture text this morning that should be pretty familiar to you. It's Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. If you've been around church for any length of time, these verses are probably somewhat familiar to you. I memorized Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the first two verses, when I was in the third grade at my church in Omaha, Nebraska, for part of a children's program we did on Wednesday nights called Awana. And I memorized those verses. And I asked Miss Shannon a week and a half ago, I said, hey, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, does everybody know that? She goes, yeah, it's a Bible drill passage. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. These are important, well-known verses. And so what do they mean? And what do they mean for us today in this context of commissioning a group of students into the next phase of their life? So I just want to start with the very beginning of verse 8. And it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace through faith. In my Bible, the English Standard Version, that's actually the subtitle of this entire passage of Scripture that goes from verse 1 through verse 10. By grace through faith. In verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul paints a pretty bleak picture of what life looks like because of sin. What life looks like because of not having Jesus in our lives. And he equates it to death. A life without Jesus is truly death. But the grace of God, he says, the grace of God has made us, verse 5 says, alive together with Christ. So God has saved us from sin and death by grace through faith. That means that God's grace, which we do not deserve, is the foundation of salvation. And the vehicle by which we get there is faith. And that faith, he says, is in Jesus. So to be saved means God's grace is ours. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. God's grace is ours. And we access that by having faith in Jesus Christ as the one who brings us new life. Kennedy gave us an example of that in the baptismal waters today by saying, I believe this. I have faith in Christ. And so I am being buried with Christ in my sin and death, but I'm being raised to walk a new life. That's what that means. It's these verses played out in our lives by grace through faith. So this is 100% about God and what he does for us through Jesus. Yet, Paul anticipates our unique ability to make everything about ourselves. And so he continues to spell this out for us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, this is not about you. That was funnier than you acted. This is not about you. You don't deserve it, and you can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. I think this is so hard for us because we live in this culture that tells us that we are defined by what we do, right? You walk up to someone and say, hey, I'm Tim Wilde Smith. Nice to meet you. What do you do?
I am worship and music pastor.
He's defined by what he does, see? Thanks, Joe. We didn't plan that. We walk up to people and we introduce ourselves and we say, what do you do? We define one another by what we do. What we do earns us a title. What we do earns us respect. What we do earns us money. What we do earns us the feeling about ourselves. We put the best things that we do on social media because we're defined by what we do. We take 117 selfies to get one photo to put on the internet because we want to look right. We want to feel right. We think our value is in what we do. And so this is tough because God says it's not about what you do. Salvation, earning my love, is my grace for you. You can't earn it. You really don't deserve it. It's established by his grace. And the only thing we have to do, y'all, the only thing we have to do is surrender to that. And to surrender to it means that we believe. We have faith in Jesus. By grace, through faith. In a room with this many people in it, I got to think that a couple of you just need to soak that in for a moment. It's not about what you do, and you don't have to be perfect. God's grace for you is magnificent. And Jesus, what he's done for you, his life and his death and his resurrection, by having faith in him, by believing in him, by saying, you are Lord of my life, Jesus. For no other reason than that, you have access to God's grace, to salvation, by grace, through faith. And if that just lands real heavy, then I just want to tell you, stop trying so hard and just surrender to God's grace. Now, seniors, I'm just spelling it out for you. This is Christianity 101. But I want you to be really careful with what you do with these verses. The next season of your life is going to be filled with more fun and opportunity and freedom, independence, than you've ever known before. And I'm sure I'm not the only adult in this room who can look back on that season of my life and go, you know what? I took advantage of God's grace a little bit. Because we know this is true. God's grace for us, I can't earn it. It doesn't matter what I do, so I can do whatever I want. Because God's grace has got me. So opportunities are going to come your way. Things are going to happen in your life. And you're going to say, well, Tim said that it's all about God's grace and it's not about what I do and I can't earn it, so I can do whatever I want. And thank God these verses don't end in verse 9. Because once again, Paul anticipates our selfishness and our ego. And it kind of makes me mad, to be honest with you, that we train kids to memorize verses 8 and 9 without memorizing verse 10. Because You're not getting the whole picture unless you read that. So what does verse 10 say? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So verse 9 says, this is not about works. And then verse 10 says, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. What gives? What's going on? It seems like it's conflicting. I think we can understand it better if we think about the meaning of the word commission, which is what we're here to do today. I've said in years past that commission is a complex word. It can be used as a noun. It can be used as a verb. There's two definitions if you use it as a verb, the main two. The first is to give an order for or authorize the production of something. So my wife, Becca, is a painter. And you can commission, wink, wink, you can commission her to make you a painting. She's just finished a commission yesterday. We're driving it to Arkansas next week because paintings are expensive to ship. You can commission her to make a painting. You can commission it. That's what you're asking her to make it for you. The second definition is to bring something into working condition. Think about that. Something that's not working, you make it to where it works. And verse 10 says that we are his workmanship. God has commissioned us for what? We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So these works, be clear, these works do not save us. We still can't earn it. That's by grace through faith. But these works are the life that we are commissioned into because of our faith in Christ. The new life that we've talked about repeatedly, from the baptismal waters to the songs we've sung, the new life is a life of good works, where we live out a life in response to what God has done for us, his grace, and what he's done for us through Christ. And our life changes. It's not, I get to do whatever I want because God's grace has got me. It's, I give my life to this because I recognize the power of God's grace in my life. God has commissioned us. Brought a little show and tell for you this morning. This is a 1960 Fender Jazzmaster. This is one of my prized possessions. If you know me, you know that I love guitars and I'm a guitar collector. A 1960 Fender Jazzmaster. You can see, I'm going to take it down here so the seniors can see it. You can see how beat up it is. It's got all this paint chipped off of it. It's got all these lines, these cracks in the finish. The Fender logo is worn off. The neck is, look at that, the neck is worn down. This looks like a 59-year-old guitar, doesn't it? It's not. This guitar was made a couple years ago. You see, the people at Fender realized about 20 years ago that they could make guitars the exact same specifications of the ones that they made back in the 50s and the 60s, and people would pay more money for them because they loved those old guitars so much. And then they figured out that if they beat those guitars up, people would pay even more money for them. Not kidding. This is called a relic. This is a Fender guitar that was made just a few years ago, and they beat it up. I mean, it's rusty, it's beat up. And you pay more money for a guitar that someone else beats up than a guitar that you beat up. And this isn't just any guitar. You see, a normal guitar from Fender is made on a production line. Hundreds of hands are involved in making it. But Fender created something called the Custom Shop. You can see that logo right there. The Custom Shop is some trained experts, and only a few people work on each guitar. Only a few people get to beat the guitars up. This isn't even one of those. So they said, well, maybe we can make even more money if we name these certain guys to be what we call master builders. And a master builder is an expert from Fender who makes one guitar by himself or herself at a time. One guitar built from the ground up, beat up from the ground up by one human being. And this is a master-built 1960 Fender Jazzmaster. I don't typically name my guitars, but I call this one Dennis. If you look on the back, you can see that's the name of the guy who made it. It's also the name of my father. And the only reason I own this guitar is because when I was a kid, my dad used to say, "Oh, hey guys, you awake? Good." When I was a kid, my dad used to say this phrase to me, "Son, if you don't ask, then they've already said no." And so Dennis here was listed on a website for sale by the guy who originally had it commissioned, and it was lower than it should have been, but it was still too much for me to own. And I just kept looking, and over a year went by, and the guitar was still listed for sale. So I sent the guy a message, and I made him a ridiculously low offer for this guitar. And here's what he said: "I totally forgot that I had that for sale." And he sold it to me for the low offer, because he had forgotten he even had it. I want to be like him one day. I want to have so many guitars. So it's named Dennis in honor of the man who made it, and in honor of the man whose words convinced me to make the offer that made it mine. I think all of us are a little bit like that guitar. We all have scars. We have wounds. We have bruises that represent moments of deep pain in our lives. Perhaps regret. But we were created by a master builder. We are his workmanship, his handiwork, his creation that he created for good. We are not perfect. But through faith in Jesus, we are exactly who God created us to be. Bumps and bruises and scars. A chapter later, Paul says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." Through Christ, God's power is at work within us, even when we're beat up, even when we feel like we can't cut it. I love this quote from E.M. Bounds, who was a Civil War era preacher. He said, "We are constantly on a stretch, if not a strain, to devise new methods, new plans, and new organizations to advance the church and secure enlargement and efficiency for the gospel. And this trend of the day has a tendency to lose sight of people in the plan or the organization. But God's plan is to make much of us, far more of us than of anything else. We are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better people." Seniors, look at me. You are God's method. Church, we are God's method in the world. The good news, as explained by Paul in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, is that we are not responsible for our own salvation. It is only by the grace of God that we are saved. We surrender to that. We have faith in Jesus. But when we have that faith, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we choose to follow him, he commissions us into something that can work for his glory. He uses our lives as part of his plan. He gives our lives meaning and purpose and power. The master builder takes something broken and makes it beautiful. He commissions us into something that he can use. Seniors, my challenge to you today is to give everything you have to Jesus. Give everything you have to Jesus. Your results, your performance, your work, none of that determines your worth. Your worth is defined in who Jesus calls you and what he says you are and his love for you and God's grace for you. But because of that, your life is his workmanship. Your life is designed by God to change the world you are perfectly, perfectly equipped because of Jesus to do just that. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your grace. And despite our brokenness, our scars, our bruises, we recognize that you are commissioning all of us to do your good work in the world. And so, Lord, would you take our lives? And would you use them? Would you allow your power and your love to flow through us to the world around us? Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Amen. We're going to sing a song. I want to say this. If you've never surrendered to the grace of God, if you never said, I have faith in Jesus and I want him to be the Lord of my life, as we sing, some of us are going to be down here. We would love for you to just take that courageous step out into the aisle and walk down forward. We'd love to pray with you and get to know you, because we believe there is nothing better in life than to choose Jesus and to trust the grace of God.